I'm Ed the Sock, and this is on the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FUNetworkTV and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Hey everyone, it is Michelle Badusky coming to you on Kick FM Radio, Ed the Sock's FU Network, and if you're watching me on Facebook, YouTube, or my own website, michellebadusky.ca. Wherever you're joining me, thank you. I just came back from getting my first and hopefully only COVID-19 swab. I drove into Brandon early this morning after taking a self-assessment tool online, and I wanted to talk to you about that today, what it entails and where it came from. So a little bit of backtracking, if you have been following me, you'll know that my family and I really took the pandemic seriously right at the beginning of March. We have a six-year-old who has asthma and was hospitalized with pneumonia in September, and it was really a scary time for us. We were in the hospital 6 days, and I got to give a shout out to the staff and especially the nurses in Brandon Hospital. The pediatrics there, they were phenomenal, but it was still really scary when you've got this little guy that can't breathe and he's on oxygen. And so when this pandemic, when it was obvious that this pandemic was, you know, here and it was going to stay, and that we weren't immune from it here in Manitoba, we went into lockdown a little bit earlier than most. And we've been really, really careful. I've been a huge advocate of following the rules, social distancing, all of those things. So it's really frustrating to me today to have to go get tested. And I want to talk about that. My family and I just, you know, to reassure you, I'm the only one in the house that has any kind of symptoms. And I'm going to talk about that. But I have been self-isolating since yesterday morning, even as much as I can from my family here in the house. When I am in close contact or contact, I haven't been too close to my kids. I haven't hugged them or kissed them in over 24 hours since symptoms started. But I do have a mask. I actually have a bunch of them that I carry and put on when I'm going to be in the same room with them or come close to them. So I am trying, and that frustrates me. That's really, you know, I hope that those results come back quickly. They did say it was going to take 4 to 7 days. But if it's positive, hopefully I'll hear sooner, but I doubt it is. But we'll talk about that. So here's how it started. On Sunday, I actually told my husband that I don't think I'd ever felt healthier in my life. In the beginning of June, June 1st, actually, I put myself back on, you know, a fitness and nutrition regimen. I am a certified nutritionist and fitness instructor, and just really focused on getting into better shape, because when the pandemic hit and we kind of went into lockdown and I shut down my fitness studio, I took that as, you know, for the first few months anyways, as just an excuse to be lazy, right? I taught my daughter how to make fresh pasta and baking, and so I'd put on some weight and gotten really lethargic, really lazy, and I needed to change that. That's not how I want to live. That's not my normal. And June 1st, I decided to kind of get back into shape, and not necessarily shape as in, you know, what you see in physically, but how I feel. And it's been, you know, 7-8 weeks of working out and eating right, and I've actually spent the pandemic getting a lot of upgrades in my fitness training. I completed my yoga certification, which is something that I had been, it had been a plan of mine for a long time. So I've been doing all of these things and feeling great every morning, getting up, and there's exercise and walking and yoga and meditation, and really focused. And Sunday I was telling my husband how I'd never felt better, I don't think, physically and mentally. And we had a great day on Sunday. I felt 100%, and we had a lot of fun as a family, and we were out and about. We had just started in July, kind of loosening up a little bit, taking the kids out here and there. We actually got together with friends on Friday for my husband's birthday, 6 feet away, you know, social distancing and talking about that, lots of sanitizer, things like that, but starting to loosen up. And it only this month that we've been doing that. I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable as the numbers in Manitoba dropped. And I felt great on Sunday night. When we got home, I was a little chilled. I was tired. And I thought, you know, it's been a long day. I had a very busy, very active day. I've been actually getting, if you follow my fitness page or you follow what I've been doing, you know, I've been getting hundreds of hours of active minutes a week, and at least, you know, 2 hours of activity, physical activity a day. And I thought, well, I'm just, you know, tired. I went to bed early. And I woke up yesterday morning feeling like I got run over by a truck. My whole body is sore. I'm feeling like not muscle sore, just like it takes too much effort to do a whole lot. Actually, this podcast is something I thought I was going to put off and I was going to take a nap, but I think this is an important message and I actually have something to say. So I wanted to tell you how it was, how this came about for me. So, you know, I'm having a little bit of trouble breathing, like not trouble breathing, like I can't breathe, but, you know, I'm just short of breath. My chest feels really tight, like someone's sitting on it. And I've had this headache since yesterday morning. It's just driving me up the fucking wall. So I really kind of self-isolated. I figured, oh, I'm coming down with a cold, a little bit of a dry cough, just every now and then, like that real irritation. And so I canceled fitness classes and, you know, I spent yesterday in bed kind of just chit-chatting with friends and talking about how this new normal with the pandemic, one of the big challenges for me is going to be the stay home when you're sick, because I'm a go-getter, right? It's like, okay, you got a cold, suck it up, move on. Let's all just, you work through it. You don't call in sick. You don't cancel things just because you got the sniffles. But with this pandemic, we need to. This is the new normal, that when you're sick, you stay home. You don't want to risk passing anything on to anybody else. So I canceled classes and really focused kind of on that attitude, because I was feeling really guilty. Feeling lazy, you know, like just laying in bed, but it's like, ugh, I just got a touch of a cold. I'm coming down with something. And it just didn't really ease up all day. This headache is driving me up the wall. And it's like, okay, never really thought, you know, my daughter actually said, well, you know, COVID, or someone said online, and I kind of laughed, because it's like, where would I come in contact with this? And as I started talking to people, I realized that, you know, I do have a friend of a friend who had been traveling out of province and come in contact with some positive cases. And, you know, this 7 degrees of separation thing. And it made me start to realize that none of us, no matter how much precautions we take, are really as safe as we think we are unless everyone's taking those precautions. And do I blame them? Am I angry? No. You know, they were following the rules. They traveled out of province. There's no need to self-isolate once traveling out of province if you're going to the West, since, you know, it's been over a month now. Palliser opened the borders because we needed to be the first, you know. So maybe I am angry, but I'm more angry at the politicians that are putting the economy before the health of the people. Now, I know that there is a very small chance that test is going to come out positive. I know that. There's like, I don't know statistically, but I just feel it. It's like, it's going to be like 98%, you know, negative. And I'm not overly worried that I am infected, but I don't know. I don't know 100%. And I can't possibly know 100% unless I get a test. That's why I got tested today. It was uncomfortable, but it only lasted like, you know, 2 seconds, 5 seconds. I've given birth. Trust me, there's more things in this world that are uncomfortable than a COVID test. And I got to hand it to the staff that were at the drive-through screening place in Brandon in the town center. It took like not even 5 minutes. I was in and out, and I was home before anybody even noticed. They were really professional. It's going to take 4 to 7 days to get results. Apparently, that's only if it's negative. Positive results come back faster, and they call you. So hopefully, the longer we wait, you know, no news is good news. And I know that that chance is low. But in the meantime, my family and I are self-isolating because there is a risk. And I am doing things like wearing a mask around my children and avoiding contact with them because I don't want to risk giving them whatever I have at any time, even if it was just a cold, but especially now. So that's kind of the background of where I am today and how I got there. And if... I think the really important thing here is we don't know what we don't know. And this is where my frustration comes from. I was talking to a friend of mine last night who is a healthcare worker who has talked about how frustrated she gets, you know, following the rules, that people don't want to follow the rules. How, you know, she has actually been brought to tears because she's been made to feel like this awful, evil person when she's just trying to protect people. And it frustrates me. I'm thinking to the conversations that I've had over the last couple weeks that, you know, I had mentioned to somebody, they said that they spend a lot of time camping this summer. Because camping, at least when you're camping, you know, when you're home alone, you're by yourself and there's nothing to do. But at least when you're camping, you can go around and visit everybody. And I said, well, be careful who you're visiting. And she said, oh, I know everybody. And today I started realizing that we don't really know everyone. It kind of reminds me of, for those of you who are old enough to remember, the AIDS scare. In the 80s when I was in, you know, when I was in high school, there was huge campaigns about HIV. It's a virus. There's still no cure, no vaccine, or I think they're working on it, but, you know, that's a different story. It's 40 years ago. And there is a huge thing about, you know, practicing safe sex. And we heard those same arguments. Oh, but I know them. It's like, you might know them, but you do you know everybody that they have been with? And do you know everybody that they have been with and they have been with? You know, those 7 degrees of separation. And unless you know all of that, you don't really know who you're hanging around with. So if you think that, oh, well, I know you and you're not diseased, it's safe to come and hang out with you and forget about physical distancing and forget about sanitizer or potlucks and let's share meals and things like that. And it makes me realize how lax we are here. How, you know, I've been saying this on my social media for a couple weeks that we have stopped taking this disease seriously. Some of us haven't taken it seriously at all because it hasn't been that bad here in Manitoba. We've been very lucky because we're in the interior, because we're in the prairies. We got to see what the other provinces were doing. We got to see what the other countries were doing before it came here. So we went into kind of, I don't like using the word lockdown because we weren't in lockdown, but it's the best word I've got to describe when what did happen. We went into lockdown sooner rather than later. And, you know, because we have a very sparse population, only 1 million people in the province, that's very geographically large, that and everybody is kind of condensed into one city. So there's sparse population throughout. And we don't have a lot of tourism. We don't have a lot of international tourism. So Manitoba got really lucky. And I think here where I live, in West Man, in the Prairie Mountain Health Region, I think we got really complacent that, you know, we were figuring that this was like a big city thing, that we were safe here, that we didn't have to follow the rules. And those people that did follow the rules or are following the rules are kind of frowned on, that, you know, they're being extremist or they're, or you know, fear-mongering and all that kind of stuff. And we got really complacent. Over the last few weeks, we've seen parties here in our town, all over, right? You see it if you go onto Facebook, if you're in Western Manitoba and you belong to, you know, people of Brandon, and you see all the conversations there about where can I rent a hall? I want to have a potluck for 40 people, or, you know, we're having, you know, as long as you have 50 people outside, you're within the rules. Everybody's looking at a way to fit within the rules without realizing that the rules still require 6 feet between people who don't live in the same households. And we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that. I know that I have made a couple of exceptions, and I have recently found out that those exceptions may have been exposed, because we do have some local cases, you know, in the Prairie Mountain Health Region. And we are seeing a spike in the last week here in Manitoba. We've seen more cases in the last 6 days here in Manitoba than we have in the last 2 months. And that is scary when you realize how little people are paying attention to the rules, because you don't know where it's spread. Somebody asked me, oh, have you come in contact? And it's like, I don't know. Have I? I don't know I've come in contact with anyone who has tested positive personally. But how many people, and this is something else that I just recently in the last 24 hours have discovered, how many people have a family member or a close friend that they're in constant contact with, or they themselves have been sick but haven't gotten tested because it's just a cold. Oh, I know it's just a cold. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. I just got the sniffles. Come on, let's go for coffee. How do you know? How do you know it's just a cold? You hope it's just a cold. You think it's just a cold, but you don't know. You have no idea that you might actually be, you know, having mild symptoms of COVID-19 and spreading it to everybody that you come in contact with. You don't know that unless you get tested, because the symptoms are so similar. And do I have a cold? Probably. Probably. I actually get regular sinus colds and infections. This is not that, because my sinuses are actually fine, which is freaking me out a little, because that's a normal thing for me. Someone actually said, let's just hope this is your annual, you know, your annual summer sinus cold. But my sinuses are fine. And I was actually on Sunday, I should try it now, but on Sunday, I was doing yoga. I do yoga every single day. So you're in an in a lot of the positions I do, I'm inverted. You know, my head is down, and if you do have any sinus congestion or compression, that is extremely painful. For anyone who's ever tried to do downward facing dog with a sinus cold, you know how painful that is. And that wasn't happening. My nose is fine. It feels a little weird. Like it's almost, this could sound gross, but almost like it's thick, like it's kind of filtering a lot of stuff, which it's just a weird feeling. But I'm also paranoid now, right? Now you're double guessing every symptom you have. It's like, is this a symptom, or is it just the fact that I'm thinking about it more? And that is a big problem. You know, it's going to be a long few days getting those results, and I hate it. And I'm pissy. I am really pissy about it. I hate the fact that on my way home from Brandon this morning, you know, I left home and, I got to Brandon and I pulled into the testing place and I put my mask on before I opened the door and did everything I needed to do and got tested, left the parkade, realized I still had my mask on when I got these really strange looks from these guys that were standing at the corner of the corner in front of a local restaurant down in downtown Brandon. And they were all standing there, and they were standing really close together in this group. Like, and you try not to judge, right? Maybe they all live together. But they definitely weren't 6 feet apart. And I'm just so aware of this now. I'm aware of all these pictures that people are posting over the last few weeks of, oh, I'm going camping. I'm going camping with all of my friends, or I'm going camping with my friends and their kids' friends, and all the kids are together in the pool, and we're all hanging around by the fire, and we're shooting selfies with us right next to each other. And it's frustrating to me, because we are still in the midst of a global pandemic. You know, just because it's not happening here, because we haven't had, you know, enough people get sick that we know, or enough people die we somehow think we're immune to this and the rules don't apply. And this attitude of it's okay because it's summer, or it's okay because it's camping, or it's okay. It's not okay. The rules are here for a reason. We're seeing this uptick and people are kind of laughing it off until it's you. And I have been so careful. I have been so fucking careful for these last few months, to the point where even my husband has questioned whether or not I'm going overboard. And now here I am for the next 4 days, you know, self-isolating in my basement. I was mad. You know, these guys gave me this weird look because I still had my mask on my face. And I did take it off because I had no reason to. I was by myself in the car. But it pissed me off, because this is what our society is like, that those people that are trying to take precautions are almost ridiculed. It's like, oh, no big deal. You know, my daughter, her birthday is coming up and she's not going to be having friends over or anything like that because of this exact issue, because people aren't taking it seriously enough. And if it sounds like I'm not outraged, I am. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm struggling to get through this podcast because it is hard to talk. It's hard to breathe. I am praying that I just have a chest cold. I really am. And I'm sure I do. You know, I've been working out a lot. I really have been. So it's probably just catching up with me. And I need a couple days of not talking. That would help. But the fact that I'm even worried about it pisses me off. The fact that my family is in isolation, the fact that these guys gave me this look on my way home, the fact that I have friends going, eh, it's no big deal. And I'm like, well, you should get tested. Oh, no need. It's just a cold. And then they continue about their lives, not knowing if they have this disease that could potentially kill somebody or infect somebody that can affect somebody else, like my son. It's a little scary, right? And we don't know. Those 7 degrees of separation is what really scares me. And I'm sitting here, I had to make some phone calls last night when I realized that there is a potential exposure here and I had to get tested. And I had to call, you know, the people that I did come in contact with. I haven't been in close, like, touching contact with anybody, but I have been, you know, close to a few people in my life, and I had to call and let them know that I have to get tested. And it was like this humiliating feeling. You know, I made the joke to my husband that it's almost like, you know, I'm calling, you know, friggin' people I dated to let them know I had gonorrhea. Like, there's this, I don't, so don't email me or anything like that. But that's kind of how it felt, that humiliating, guilt-ridden feeling of, hey, you were at my place on Friday, even though we were sitting around outside and I never touched you, just make sure you monitor for symptoms, because I woke up out of the blue sick as a dog. And I really did. I was fine on Sunday. Absolutely fine. And here it is Tuesday, and I'm struggling to sit here and talk to you. And for those of you who know, I can talk. I haven't, you know, I think I might have gotten 500 steps yesterday if I'm lucky. And for someone who usually does 15 to 20,000, that's a big change. And it's taken its toll on me mentally as well as physically and emotionally. You know, this is frustrating that I didn't kiss my kids to bed because I potentially might have been exposed. And it's not like there's someone to blame. It's not like I can point a finger and say, you did this, because there's not. It is just this new reality that we don't know what we don't know. And unless everyone's taking it seriously, everyone is at risk. And that's where this message comes from. You know, I said that I wasn't angry, but I really am in a way. I'm angry at our government. I'm angry over the last couple days while I'm sitting here struggling to breathe, hoping it's a chest cold and that I haven't exposed my family to a disease that could potentially kill one of them. And it was a close call. I got to tell you this. I was with my mother-in-law on Sunday. Never touched her, nothing like that. But I was with her, and she was with our family. She's part of our bubble. And even though I haven't really seen her in the last couple of weeks, we spent the day with her on Sunday. And I called her last night to let her know that I was really sick and that maybe she should self-isolate for a few days until I get my test results just to be safe. And she said, I guess I'm going to cancel my visit to your mother. And that's how close we came, that my mother-in-law actually was going to visit my mother, who is immunocompromised on oxygen. She has been in almost virtual isolation in her residence in Brandon for months, because we know that if she gets COVID, she will die. She won't survive it. And it's like, okay, so I spend a day with my mother-in-law, I get sick, my mother-in-law goes and visits my mother, doesn't know she's sick. And like, that's how this spreads, and that's how it gets into these homes and into these places by people who don't necessarily know that they are positive or sick, or that they are, you know, a potential risk. And once you know, you have to do something about it. And that's the thing, right? We don't know, but we take precautions. I don't know. I'm probably not. You know, the chance of me having COVID is pretty freaking low. But if I had symptoms and I didn't take those precautions, if I didn't say, hey, just be on the safe side and let me get tested just to rule it out, and someone did get sick or someone died because I was too lazy to get a test, or I was too selfish not to isolate, or I wanted to keep it to myself, or I was so arrogant that I thought it's just a cold and someone got sick or lost a loved one because of me. I couldn't imagine having to deal with that. You know, I don't want to self-isolate for 4 days. I don't want to not, you know, seem, I don't want to, but I really don't want to kill anyone either. And that's where it comes down to. And when I see our politicians opening our borders and inviting people in and saying, hey, let's play football and come tour our province and don't worry about self-isolating, we have low numbers. What they're saying is, if everybody gets sick here, our healthcare will be able to handle it, right? Let's put money before people. And that frustrates me, because the idea of right now putting anyone at risk, when I know that there's a potential there, I can't imagine. So this is where we need to go when it comes to dealing with this pandemic. We need to follow the rules. Even if we think that we're somehow immune, we need to make sure we're following the rules. If you think that masks are a violation of your rights, think about how you're going to feel if someone died because you didn't. Masks don't protect me. I didn't wear a mask around my kids to protect me from them. I'm doing it to protect them from me. You know, if you are in public, if you are in an enclosed place where you are in close contact with people, wear a freaking mask. It's not going to kill you. You know what? You can breathe through them. Anyone who says that they can't breathe is being a drama queen. Okay? You can totally breathe through a face mask. Doctors and surgeons do it for hours and hours and hours a day, every day. Nurses have been living in them. You know what? I'm sure when they hear you complain that, you know, I'm struggling for breath the minute I put on this non-surgical mask for 10 minutes to protect other people, you are disrespecting them in a way that is unbelievable. It's not about you. You do not have the right to put other people at risk. I wish I could have stopped for a coffee on my way home from Brandon, but that would have been irresponsible of me, knowing that I had symptoms. If you have symptoms, you stay home and you stay away from other people and you get tested, even if you think it's just a cold. How else are we going to know? Because I'm telling you, you don't know. You may be like me and 98% sure that it's just a cold, but what if it's not? How are you going to live with yourself then? So I guess I will see you next Tuesday, and this is Michelle Baduski keeping it real with you here on Kick FM and Ed, the Sox FU Network, and stay tuned, check in on my Facebook page, and I'll let you know when I get those results.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Baduski. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network!